This month marks the 60th anniversary of what have become known as the Freedom Rides in Alabama. Over 400 civil rights activists boarded buses, trains, and planes to oppose racial segregation in the Deep South. Their efforts were met with violence here in Alabama. APR student reporter Tucker Ligursky spoke with some of the riders as they remember their fight for civil rights.
And Dr. King says, I understand that their danger awaits you in Alabama. He says, in fact, the word is, you guys won't make it out of Alabama.
This is Charles Person. He was one of the original Freedom Riders who was scheduled to travel from Washington, D.C. to New Orleans. He was aboard a Trailways bus. Another group boarded a Greyhound bus leaving at the same time. Person says the Freedom Riders aboard the Greyhound bus were met with violence when they arrived in Anniston.
When we arrived in Anniston, the bus station was closed. And we couldn't understand this being Mother's Day, which is a very popular day, and you know, people like to go see their mothers. Our bus driver was confused as well, so when he got off the bus, he talked to the people in front, who were milling around out front of the bus, along with the police. And he gets back on our bus, and he says, I understand the Greyhound bus has been set afire. And they're taking the occupants to the hospital by the carloads.
A white mob made up of Ku Klux Klan members met the Greyhound bus with pipes, bats, chains, and knives. The windows were smashed and tires slashed. The bus would make it to the city limits where another mob met the bus and hurled firebombs into the bus, causing the fuel tank to explode.
Now, we knew that our friends were on that bus, but we had no way of knowing how bad they were injured or if they were injured at all.
The goal of each busload of Freedom Riders was the same. Each trip followed the U.S. Supreme Court decision called Boynton v. Virginia. The nation's highest court reinforced a law that passengers on public transportation could not be racially segregated. The ruling went so far as to say the practice was unconstitutional. Even though it was law, many public transportation systems in the South still separated passengers by race.
We want people to really learn about the Freedom Rides.
Jessica Epperson is the park ranger for the National Freedom Riders Monument and says education is the goal of the monument.
These topics are covered in schools but can often be glossed over due to lack of resources and lack of knowledge of the subject. And so what we really want to do is help to educate the public and help provide educational resources so that kids and parents, everyone, really walks away with a better understanding of what took place here.
Today, Anniston has a national monument dedicated to the event that has an exhibit and historical markers. The National Monument held a virtual luminary lighting event in Anniston, Alabama on May 14th. The lighting event featured the cast from the Freedom Riders, the Civil Rights Musical, and the Anniston High School Choir, who all sang songs to honor the riders. Oh, yeah. The Freedom Rides would continue throughout May of 1961. On May 20th, another busload of activists at the Montgomery bus station was met by a large white mob of hundreds. Media members were attacked, and then the mob moved on to the riders. Several would be injured before the violence ended. Dorothy Walker is the site director of the Freedom Rider Museum.
Not been for the Freedom Rides, you certainly would have had this major civil rights campaign in terms of the boycott and its influence on the movement, kind of, you know, jump-starting and getting it more, you know, energized. But you would have still had interstate travel still segregated.
Walker says very few individuals were held accountable for this violence or the property damage. Even so, these actions played a pivotal role in changing customs in the Deep South. Despite the gains over the last six decades, many would argue when it comes to racial equality. Bernard Simelton is the president of the Alabama State Conference of the NAACP. He says there is still a lot of work to be done in Alabama when it comes to issues around race equality. The criminal justice system is among the highest of those priorities.
We must have a criminal justice system that looks at everyone as equal that commits a crime or that is involved in the criminal justice system, that they are treated the same.
Simelton says it doesn't begin when someone goes before a judge.
And when I say criminal justice system, I mean from the time you have some type of engagement with a police officer to the time that you are, you know, convicted, going through the court system here in Alabama, and as well as when you're serving time in incarceration, whether it's in the jail or whether it's in one of our prison systems.
Simelton also says there's an ongoing need for Medicaid expansion and education access for Black and rural communities. There's also the removal of Confederate monuments, which often remind black individuals of a depressive state in the South. We heard from freedom rider Charles Person at the beginning of this story. He survived an attack and harassment during his rides in Alabama 60 years ago. He says there is still hope today in furthering the mission of racial equality.
Well, I'm encouraged by the young people. I think they're doing a wonderful job in highlighting the issues of this day. I am impressed by the numbers. We never got the kind of numbers they got. And also, I love the diversity. We had a few dedicated whites who helped us. But when you look at the young people today, their diversity is superb.
For APR News, I'm Tucker Ligursky in Tuscaloosa.